church.
Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We get a glimpse of glory. A glimpse of glory, of hope, my brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Transfiguration Sunday. Why? Because God knows that it is hard to endure. Moses endured. By the grace of God, he lived to be 120 years old. And according to the Word of God, his eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. I'm not sure how well I'm enduring. For example, recently I've had to start parting ways with one of my favorite Bibles I take on calls with me to the hospital and such, because my vision is deteriorating. So that's kind of hard. But under Joshua, the people of God knew a season of endurance in spite of their sin and their struggles as Israel. And we've heard about those struggles many times. The Word of God records those struggles profusely. And yet, there was a season under God's leader Joshua when even the Israelites knew endurance. The Word of God says the people of Israel obeyed him, and they did as the Lord had commanded them. And of course, dear Christians, Jesus endured. Just before the record of the glorious transfiguration, our Savior foretold his death. Dark times were coming, and he would need to be able to endure if he was going to save us. We need to remember this, especially as we are about to enter the Lenten season, which proclaims and which celebrates the passion of our Lord for our salvation. I point to that particular banner, "By his stripes we are healed." That's a Lenten banner. That's a Passion Week banner. Jesus said in Luke 9:22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed." Discouraging news, certainly at the time confusing to the apostles. But then they saw, some of them did, Peter, James, and John, the transfiguration. So they would be strengthened and lifted up in times of storms. How our Lord's soul must have been filled with dread. How did he live with so much love and compassion and giving and serving, even though he knew what was coming? He did, because he was faithful. He was faithful, and he is faithful for you through the storms. And then the Lord spoke about us, all of his true disciples like you and me. He said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." Notice the wording, "take up his cross daily and follow me." It's the daily part that has to do with endurance. Not just yesterday, not just today, but every single day is the call to endure. There is no resting on laurels. My endurance from last year or even yesterday does not guarantee my endurance for today. David was a man after God's own heart. Talk about being in a position, being gifted to be able to endure. But there were times when he did not endure. Think of Solomon, who had the greatest wisdom. And he entered a time when he chose to no longer endure. Are we that different from David and Solomon? How often have we stopped enduring? We say that the day-to-day is crucial, and yet how many days in our past have we strayed from the path? How consistent has your endurance been? How consistent has your endurance been in regards to worship? To worship Him in spirit and truth every Sunday, He calls you. How consistent has your endurance been in your home with your family to abide in the Word? In the family, in the home, we have meals to keep our bodies alive and sustained. How are you keeping your spirit sustained in your Christian home with the Word? How have you endured to die to yourself and to love your enemies? How have you endured to live in forgiveness? How have you endured to strive for endurance itself? Endurance is hard. Think of a cross-country runner or a marathon runner. I've never run those kinds of distances, not even in the Army. But you hear such athletes hitting the wall, quote unquote. It's when your body says, no more, and yet they have trained themselves in such a way to keep going anyway. Endurance is one of the traits of those who are successful in their respective fields. Many who have made it in their chosen field resent it when others describe them as being natural-born talents, as if insinuating they did not have to learn endurance, when they know how hard they have had to work. One aspect of success factors in the so-called 10,000-hour rule. If you put in that much time essentially practicing or working out on something, some skill for example, then yes, you will develop a real ability even if you're not necessarily gifted in that area, like learning to play an instrument or learning a new language or something like that. Ted Williams was lauded as a natural in baseball. But he would practice swinging the bat so often, it got to the point sometimes that his hands would bleed. So the story goes about Ted Williams. Endurance is also that trait of the faithful. I've met married Christians who describe their storm. And I've heard the words, it's over. I can't go on. But in some cases, through endurance, resurrection happens in those marriages. That's when God does something that only He could do, when He comes alongside of you and He holds you up, like Pastor did for Meredith. And how many Christian parents have learned endurance as they go through storms with their children and with their families? How many devout parents have felt as though all hope was gone, but they kept loving and serving their children anyway, because love covers over a multitude of sins. But how does this happen? I don't want to sound like pie in the sky, but how can you know this kind of endurance? What is there, if anything, that can truly cause you to endure? Not with resentment and bitterness taking over your soul as if being held captive in a prison, but enduring with confidence enduring with real hope, enduring with a sense of a victorious scenario. To answer that question, we begin with today's revelation in the Word of God on Transfiguration Sunday. You can know the new you, created by the Lord, who's held up. Consider how the Lord refers to you, His people, in Hebrews 3, verse 1. Amazing! God is speaking to you. Holy brothers, men and women, holy brothers. And then he describes those who have received, all of you, quote, a heavenly calling. Holy brothers set aside by God. A heavenly calling, the calling of God's word that creates something out of nothing, is your calling. It has made you holy. It has set you apart that you may endure. The amazing thing here is that these were done for you. You did not make yourself holy. God did. You didn't call yourself. God did. How did He do this? Consider today's revelation of Jesus Christ. This is how we know His calling. Get back to Jesus. He is called in Hebrews chapter 3, 1-6, the apostle, which means the sent one, the sent one, the apostle over all apostles. He is called the high priest. And consider what he does as apostle and high priest. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is our faith. This is our confession when you're going through storms. As apostle, the sent one for you, get this. He pleads God's cause with you. And as a high priest, he pleads your cause with God. Let me say that one more time. He pleads the cause of God with you. He pleads your cause with God. The apostle is sent for God's word to be given to you, to be put in you, that spiritual food and nourishment that creates faith that endures. The high priest takes up your cause, your needs for endurance, for example, and he pleads for your endurance before the Heavenly Father, that you may be able to stand. And through this saving work for you, you make a good confession, verse 1. And it's a confession that gets back not to your ability, sinner, but to Jesus' ability. Because what are you confessing? You are confessing that Jesus is faithful. He is faithful for me. He's faithful for you. The key to endurance is the Lord's faithfulness. The key is we never rely on our feeble attempts, but we rely on His faithfulness. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. His promise. Moses was faithful. He raised up a faithful leader by His grace. And this man of God who was raised up for Israel pleaded, O Lord, why does Your wrath burn hot against Your people? Turn from Your burning anger. Relent from this disaster. And they were shown mercy. Moses prayed this way for Israel. This is how Jesus prays for you. But as great as Moses was, Jesus is greater. Moses was servant. Jesus is the son over the household. He's your shield. He's your protection. He's faithful. He'll keep you safe. Now this one intercedes for you. And when we have received such faithfulness by the grace of God in Christ,
through word and sacrament, the Lord forms faithfulness in us.
We need this because there was a time that even with the great servant of God, Moses, again, Israel was not faithful. But now you have someone greater than Moses who takes up your cause. Should we give up being faithful when his faithfulness has been given to us? Dare we be faithless when he has been so faithful? We mustn't give up. Endurance becomes everything to us. It is a response of faith to the Lord for everything. And this proclamation, to declare it this way, is not for you to clench your fists and grind your teeth and beat your head against a wall, but rather to access the resources of God, to receive His word that enters your hearts and minds, to receive the body and blood of Jesus, and receive the encouragement that comes from the body of Christ. That's tangible. That's real. So consider. That's the word today. Consider. Looks like an ordinary word, nothing special. Consider. Verse 1. Kata noeo. Consider. Kata noeo. It means to rivet your attention on. To rivet your attention on. How can you possibly endure with all the struggles you face? The answer is rivet your eyes on Jesus. It's like Peter sinking, but then crying out to Jesus. Jesus took hold of him and saved him. Jesus saves you too. Rivet your eyes on your Savior, like when you receive His body and blood today. So see this gospel truth once again. He was faithful for you. He is faithful for you. He will be faithful for you. He has covered your yesterdays and today and tomorrows with His faithful endurance for you. And through our faithful leader, the leader of our household, the Holy Church, all of us, we now have in Christ, according to this text, fearless confidence and triumphant hope. That's what you have. Claim it. Confess it. You know how to live. As clearly as you see your weakness and need for endurance, you rivet your eyes on Jesus, who is your apostle, who is your high priest, who has made you holy brothers, who has extended His heavenly calling to you, who's faithful for you, who is over you, God's household, taking care of you. And in Him we are given fearless confidence, and in Him we are given triumphant hope. We have fearless confidence now that God will accomplish what He has promised. He never breaks His promise. His glorious transfiguration was God's guarantee to His Son that He would endure. But that same glorious transfiguration is also why you will endure. The glorious Christ, our glorious King of all kings, our best friend, is faithful. So you will endure. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen.